me. He shook his head. After you and I finished at the library, I went over to see her. I ended things like I should have done before. So I drank, last Thursday, drank a little too much. Pausing, he reached over and his fingers brushed my side as he unhooked my seatbelt. Being with her wasn't the right thing to do, you know? He slipped the seatbelt off my shoulder. I felt like I was stringing her along, especially now. Now? Yeah. His gaze searched mine. Especially now. My lips parted on a soft inhale. A long moment stretched out between us, and he asked, "You ready to head in?" Pressing my lips together, I nodded. I opened the door and waited for Ryder to come around the side. A truck drove past us, the music a heavy thump echoing as it traveled down the block. I looked around as we crossed the street. The neighborhood wasn't bad, lots of storefront businesses, and farther down, I could see brick row homes. "You live near here?" I asked. Ryder nodded as he stepped in front of a gray, windowless door. "Yeah, about 3 blocks down." He fished out a key and unlocked the door. "The shop is kind of a mess, sorry."
"It's okay."
It was a body shop. I expected it to be messy. He opened the door and stepped inside, holding it for me. I followed him. A heavy scent immediately hit me, a combination of paint and oil mixed with gasoline. It smelled like hard work. When he threw a switch along the wall, a low hum reverberated through the building. Hanging ceiling lights flickered on, spaced every couple of feet. The light was faint at first, but grew stronger. Ryder moved ahead, shoving his hands into his pockets. "Follow me?" Wrapping my arms around my waist, I walked behind him as he made his way around a car that was jacked up into the air. Tires were missing, revealing exposed wheel wells. Workbenches and tool chests were everywhere. Splotches of oil and grease covered the cement floor. The farther we walked in the long and wide building, the more cars we saw covered by thick canvas, and the heavier the scent of paint grew. It was darker back there. Faint yellow light glanced off Ryder's cheeks as he looked over his shoulder. He stopped by a covered car.
"I don't have set hours here. Drew calls me when he has a job. Been lucky the last couple of months. Work's been steady."
Stretching up, he caught a hold of a chain. Muscles along his back tensed, and his shirt strained over his shoulders and biceps as he tugged it. That warm, heavy feeling infiltrated my veins. Light flooded the space. The first thing I noticed was a large canvas draped across the wall. It was covered with paint, as if 100 different colors had been tossed on the canvas in no particular pattern. Ryder followed my gaze.
"That's where I test out the colors. Sometimes I have to mix them before I put them in the sprayer."
"Sprayer?" Nodding, he turned toward a bench. Several silver canisters with nozzles were laid out across the top. He walked over, picking one up.
"Paint goes in here."
He ran his finger along the canister fitted to the top of the sprayer. "And the bottom hooks up to a hose that runs to the air compressor." He laughed, sounding a little off as he put the sprayer back on the workbench.
"Not that you were asking for a lesson on a sprayer."
"It's okay." I stepped closer. "It's interesting." Ryder laughed again as he walked away from the bench. He went past me, stopping in front of a covered car.
"I've been working on this car for the last week."
He grabbed the canvas at the hood of the car and pulled it off.
"Almost done."
My mouth dropped open. I didn't know what kind of car it was. A white two-seater, probably a coupe. It didn't matter. It was what was painted across the hood and front fender that caught my attention. It was the American flag. Now, that didn't sound too special, but the detail of the flag took it to a whole new level. Not a single red line bled into the white lines. The stars were perfect bursts of white among deep navy blue. The flag wasn't a stagnant square. It rippled as if it were a real cloth placed over the hood, draping the fender, and wind was washing over it.
It made it look like the car was actually moving. How could he do that with paint sprayed onto the surface?
The guy wanted something Americana.
He stepped forward, brushing his hand along the fender, wiping away an imaginary speck of dirt.
We ended up settling on a flag.
In awe, I shook my head as I placed my hand over my chest. I couldn't believe it. I'd seen what he'd painted on the warehouse, and that had been awe-inspiring. But this was something else. This is amazing.
Really?
Yes. I looked at him, eyes wide. How can you not see how amazing this is? Ryder shrugged as he flipped his attention back to the car.
It's just a flag.
It looks real. My voice pitched, but I didn't care. Ryder came from nothing. Nothing. Was raised in darkness and violence. But he'd had this ability the entire time. What he'd experienced hadn't snuffed out this talent. Like I could walk over and lift it up.
Huh. There was a pause. Thank you.
Do you keep track of your work? He shook his head.
Not really.
You should have pictures of this, I insisted, of all that you do. He lowered his chin.
I have some at the house, not together or anything. Drew usually takes a picture, puts it up on the website.
A portfolio book? Excited, I rocked back. That's what you need. The corner of his lips tipped up, and then he bent down, picking up the tarp. I watched him drape it back over the car, straightening it as he walked around the sides. I inhaled softly. I would like to see more of your stuff.
I can show you some later. Gather up the pics, he said, tugging the material over the trunk of the coupe.
Smiling, I unfolded my arms. An idea formed while I watched him fix the other side of the tarp as he made his way back to me. Ryder wouldn't get a portfolio book. For some reason, he just couldn't recognize his talent, but that didn't mean I couldn't help him.
Want to try it?
He asked. My eyes widened. Try painting a car? Ryder's hazel eyes twinkled as he laughed.
No, not painting a car, Mouse.
Walking toward me, he gestured at the canvas tacked to the wall.
Paint there.
Turning, my gaze crawled across the canvas. There were spots untouched by paint, mostly the lower half. Ryder walked to the bench and opened the drawer, pulling out two white masks.
Fumes can get a bit much.
He walked back to me.
So, what do you think?
Smiling, I nodded. The twist of his lips kicked up higher, and he placed the mask over my head, letting it dangle below my chin. His eyes met mine as he scooped my hair out from under the band. He hesitated, staring down at me. His mouth opened as if he wished to say something, but then changed his mind. He slipped his own mask on, letting it hang as he pivoted around, approaching a tall plastic cabinet near the bench. He opened it, and out came regular-looking spray cans.
Figured we'd start with this before we moved on to that stuff,
he explained, tone light as he handed over a can with a red top.
The color suits you.
I felt my cheeks heat as I wrapped my hands around the can. Ryder led me over to the canvas, shaking his can as he went. I did the same, probably looking a little deranged.
How about we start with just a letter? The letter M.
He tugged his mask up over his mouth, and when he spoke, his voice was muffled.
Here.
Shoving the can under his arm, he turned to me and pulled the mask up, situating it over my mouth. His hands lingered along the band, sending a shiver dancing down my spine.
There you go.
He popped the lid off the can and it hit the floor with a soft clang. Eyes bright, he knelt down and with a series of flicks he had a bold letter R in black paint.
Your turn.
At first I just stood there, frozen with indecision. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, spray painting a letter wasn't hard, But the idea of even trying to do it was frightening because of what? Failing? How could I fail at spray painting a letter? I mean, come on. And if I did somehow manage to be that ridiculous, Ryder wouldn't care. I shouldn't care. But I was scared of just trying. A tremor curled down my arm, and I stopped thinking, stopped stressing. I popped the lid off and then walked forward. I knelt down and painted a giant, bubbly letter M in red. There. No big deal. No one was injured or killed by my lame M. I looked up at Ryder, and even though I couldn't see his mouth, I thought he was smiling. So, he added an I beside his R. You're looking at colleges, right? I started to nod as I drew an A, but forced myself to talk. Yes, I want to go to College Park, but I...
What?
My brows knitted as I concentrated on what I was doing. Carl and Rosa want me to go into one of the health sciences, focus on research. Marquette, their daughter, was going to become a doctor like them. Ryder was quiet as he worked slightly above me, to my left.
Is that what you want to do?
I stopped, lowering the can as I stared at the first three letters of my name. I already knew the answer, but I thought about how Carl had laughed and outright dismissed my idea of going into social work. I didn't want Ryder to do the same.
I don't know.
I looked over at him. Do you think that's not what I want? He paused, his gaze finding mine.
I don't know the answer to that, Mouse. You're not the same girl I knew 4 years ago.
Sometimes I felt like I was exactly the same girl. He started spraying again, and the heavy scent of paint puffed into the air.
As long as it's what you're passionate about, go for it.
I was so not passionate about research, but I had a feeling I would be when it came to social work. I just didn't want to disappoint Carl and Rosa, and I knew if I decided to do something like that, I would. But what else was I passionate about? Ryder talked about the different jobs he'd done, some of the shapes he'd had to paint. I'd laughed when he said he had to do a clown on a van once. That was about 50 levels of creepy. We filled in our letters. Ryder got all fancy, zigzagging designs throughout the letters. I tried it, and it looked like a blood splatter. And I thought more about what I was passionate about, what screamed my name, and I realized as I finished filling in the why. I had no answer. Everything about me was superficial, barely scratched the surface. I liked to read. I liked to carve soap. I liked to watch Project Runway. I didn't love any of those things. I didn't want to write, like Ainsley did. Carving soap was more of a weird hobby, my own version of meditation. And I couldn't design a white cotton t-shirt to save my life. Man, I was kind of blank. Like the spots on the canvas that had just the tiniest drops of paint on it. There were things I liked, things that had caught my attention over the years, but for the most part, I was empty. Over the past couple of years, I'd been slowly unpacking all the emotional baggage from the past, all the trauma and fear. But that mess had done more than just keep me silent, existing in the background. It had held me back from living. Wasn't that what being passionate really was? Living? Except that fear was still there, and because of it, I was this blank thing. Oddly, a pressure lifted from my shoulders. I didn't feel bad about this as I rose. I was basically a blank canvas, and that wasn't a bad thing, I decided in that moment, because that meant I could be whatever. I could become anything. I just had to do it. But my name looked like a bloody marshmallow. I grinned behind the mask.
I like it.
Ryder removed his mask as he walked over to the bench, dropping the can and mask there.
What do you think?
Tugging the mask off over my head, I smiled at him. I like it. I glanced back at our names. Thank you for bringing me here. I'm sure the party is probably more interesting.
Not true. I can't think of a place I'd rather be, he said, twisting his long and lean body toward mine. Honestly.
My brows flew up. I wasn't sure if I should believe him or not. He picked up a cloth.
Show me your hands.
I did. Two of my fingers had red smudges on them, much like his always seemed to. Taking my hand between his, he gently scrubbed at the paint.
I'm being serious, Mallory. I'm happy you're here. I don't care about a party.
Staring up at him as he diligently cleaned my hand, I decided to let myself believe what he was saying, to take his words at face value. Pulling the cloth away, he inspected my hand.
You don't see what I see.
What? His brows furrowed together as he swiped the cloth over my pointer finger once more. Then he dropped the cloth behind him and picked up the red spray can.
I want to back up to this whole caring about me thing, he said, surprising me as he made his way back to the canvas. I know you care about me, Mallory.
My heart started beating fast as he shook the can.
I care about you.
He knelt halfway down. A second passed and he moved his arm, spraying on the canvas.
And I think this was missing something.
Having no idea what he was doing or where he was going with this, I waited until he rose and stepped back to the side. My lips parted on a soft gasp. Ryder had spray-painted a heart between our names. I saw it with my own eyes. Ryder, hearts, Mallory. Angling toward me, his grin was sheepish, boyish.
That was probably really corny, wasn't it?
My heart was doing overtime, thumping so fast I thought I might have a heart attack.
Or it was too much.
He tossed the can in a nearby trash can and slowly approached me. His cheeks were a vibrant pink.
It was definitely too much.
I didn't know what to say or do. Ryder wasn't doing any of those things Ainsley said he'd do. He wasn't playing it cool or hard to get. He was putting it out there, and
I like you, Mallory, and God knows you deserve a hell of a lot better than me.
He dipped his chin, laughing as he thrust his hand through his hair.
God, I suck at this. Can we just forget?
I snapped out of it. You like me? His gaze flew to mine.
Yeah, I do. And I know I've been with Paige, and I'm not going to pretend that meant nothing. But it's not how I feel for you. Not remotely like how I feel for you. And it's not because of our past, because of you and I knowing each other for so long, he said, and the words kept coming out in a rush. At first, I thought that was why. This attraction I have to you. I thought it was because of everything we'd shared. And then the night I came to your place and you fixed me up, I thought it was just this physical thing.
Pink raced across his cheeks.
And it is most definitely a physical thing, but it wasn't just that. I think part of me knew that from the very first time you said my name.
Now my pulse was pounding. He liked me.
Oh my God.
This was unexpected. This was totally unplanned. It was an infinite, vast sea of unknown.
I know you deserve better, but I want to be better. I want to be that for you.
His voice dropped low as he stopped in front of me.
That's why I'm going to ask what I'm about to.
The fluttering was deep in my chest and in my stomach. I felt breathless as he stared into my eyes.
Ask me what?
A muscle flickered along his jaw as his chest rose sharply.
Can I kiss you?
Chapter 23. There wasn't a series of halted moments where my mind raced to analyze every little detail of what was happening before I made a decision. I didn't think. I acted. Yes, I whispered. Ryder made this sound in the back of his throat. It was deep and masculine, part groan and growl, and it made me shiver. He folded one hand along my cheek and lowered his head to mine, but he didn't kiss me. No. His warm breath glided over my forehead as his hand slid across my cheek, his fingers spreading into my hair at the base. His other hand landed low on my back, and the weight did insane things to my insides. He drew it up my back, leaving a trail of fire in its wake. My eyes fluttered shut as his lips brushed over the curve of my cheek. It was the craziest torture. My entire body tensed, prepared for the moment when his lips met mine. And it was the sweetest pressure, a feather-light brush of his lips over mine. Once, then twice. I felt the touch everywhere, a jolt to the system that zipped through my veins, and then the pressure increased. Ryder kissed me then. It was a real one, soft and beautiful, and when the kiss deepened, it wasn't a shy one. He knew what he was doing, and even though I didn't, an innate knowledge told me it didn't matter. His lips mapped out mine, and my insides were in tight coils. Kissing was awesome, amazing, astonishing. I could probably think of a couple of more words to describe it. Kissing blew me away, and when he lifted his mouth, both of us were breathing hard. He rested his forehead against mine. Neither of us spoke for several moments. I still wasn't thinking. I had no idea how my hands had gotten to Ryder's chest, but his heart pounded under my palm as fast as mine did. My mind was blissfully blank as I breathed in his scent, a mix of his citrusy cologne and the faint trace of paint. "Did you like that?" he asked, dragging his fingers out of my hair and over the line of my jaw. Screaming, "Yes, oh God, yes," would have probably been a little too excessive, so I managed a somewhat subdued, "Yes." As Ryder grinned, his lips brushed mine. "Good, because I really liked it." I turned my cheek into his hand. None of this felt real, like I was dreaming and would wake up at any moment and be thrust back into reality, a world where there was just the past and a present I was barely living in. Not this reality where I'd been kissed for the first time. Not a reality where I was actually experiencing each second as it happened, instead of rushing forward and then having to look back on it. "We should really talk about what we're doing, but I want..." Ryder drew in a deep breath, and his voice dropped again, becoming rougher. "I want to do it again." The swelling was back in my chest, and I swore it would lift me right up to the ceiling. Talking would be smart, but I was tired of being smart. I want that too." Ryder didn't hesitate. He tilted his head ever so slightly, and his lips were the softest of all pressures against mine. My second kiss was just as amazing as the first. But it was different after a few seconds. He lingered longer, as if following the path of my lips, learning it and committing them to memory. I wanted to do the same. I leaned in, sliding one hand up his shoulder. The hand on my lower back moved, and then his arm was around my waist. He drew me closer until we were chest to chest. A rush of sensations hit me, and even though our bodies touched, I wanted to be closer, needed to be closer. I felt the tip of his tongue. Instinct guided me. My lips parted and... we jerked apart as a loud shattering bang came from the front of the garage. Ryder looked up sharply, his brows furrowing. "What the hell?" My lips were still tingling as he slipped his arm from around me. "Are we going to get in trouble?" "No, but no one should be here." He looked down at me, his jaws set hard. "I want you to stay here, okay? But I'm sure it's nothing, but I want to check it out." He let go of my hand. "Just stay back here for now, okay?" I folded my arms across my waist and nodded. He stared at me for a moment, like he wasn't sure he believed me, and then wheeled around. He walked over to the bench and picked up a long, slender piece of metal. A tire iron did not signal nothing. Ryder started back down the covered cars, and there was no way I was going to stand here. Nothing about this situation felt good. I started forward, just as a voice rang out from the front of the garage.
Yo, Ryder! You in here?
Jesus, muttered Ryder, and then louder.
Jaden, is that you?
There was a pause.
Yeah, where you at?
Ryder glanced back at me, and I hurried toward him.
His voice sounds weird, I said. And it did, like his letters were mushed together.
He nodded, and then reached down with his free hand and found mine. He didn't drop the tire iron on the way to the front of the garage.
Where in the hell have you been, Jaden?
Ryder called out, as he led me around a car that appeared to be in pieces.
Hector and your grandmother are going crazy looking for you. Why?
Gasping, I smacked my hand over my mouth. At the front of the hall, Jaden stood with his back to us. He was shirtless. A bruise covered the side of his back, a horrible mesh of red and blue. Jaden turned around. Ryder stiffened, dropping my hand.
Damn.
Jaden lifted his chin, and it got worse. One eye was an ugly purple color, swollen shut. An angry red slash split his bottom lip as he stepped forward.
I'm in a lot of trouble, man.
Chapter 24. Ryder escorted Jaden to a break room that was at the back of the garage. It was a small, harshly bright room with a scratched table and a refrigerator that hummed and clanged around like it was on its last leg. He gathered ice from the freezer and wrapped it in the cleanest rag he could find.
Man, I'm sorry.
Jaden mumbled the words as he pressed the ice to his eye.
I didn't know you had her here. I just thought you'd be here and I could clean up.
Pausing, he slowly turned his head toward me, and I forced myself not to show a reaction to how messed up he looked. I called on the many years of experience with Ryder after Mr. Henry got a hold of him.
Serious, baby. I wouldn't bring this shit to you on purpose.
I know, I whispered.
But you did,
Ryder fired back, surprising me.
You brought this shit to me, to her. That's not cool, man.
My wide gaze shot to Ryder. The muscle in Ryder's jaw was spasming as he lowered his phone.
Hector's on his way. Heads up, he's pissed.
I sat beside Jaden, unsure of how to help other than sitting there and staying out of their way.
You didn't need to call him.
Jaden lowered the ice.
This has nothing to do with him. No te preocupes.
No need to worry? Are you out of your fucking mind? Have you seen yourself? And put the damn ice back on your eye. Ryder shook his head.
This was Brayden, wasn't it?
I recognized that name from the guy I'd seen in school. Jaden said nothing.
I told you to stay the hell away from him. So did Hector. You've disappeared the last couple of days, doing God knows what for that piece of shit, and now look at you.
The younger boy lowered his chin as he placed the cloth back to his eye.
I thought I could recoup what I lost.
I lifted my gaze to Ryder, and he read the expression in my stare. I expected him not to answer, but he did.
Jaden here, being extraordinarily bright.
Man, Jaden muttered under his breath.
Thought he could run shit for Brayden. Front the stuff.
Ryder continued, and it didn't take a wild leap of logic to guess what shit meant.
Except he sold the junk and didn't exactly return the money in the amounts he was supposed to.
People do it all the time, Jaden argued.
You've done it.
You've done it. I stilled and might have stopped breathing. My gaze swung to Ryder. I knew what fronting was. Selling stuff that was given to you under the promise of whatever it was being sold and the money getting paid back. I also knew they weren't talking about fronting sunglasses. They were talking about fronting drugs. Nausea rose. His eyes remained on Jaden.
I used to. Used to, Jaden. Then I decided to rub two brain cells together and realized I didn't want to end up dead in a damn alley just to make $100.
Ryder used to deal drugs.
Used to. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to feel relief or not as I stared at them. All I could feel was rising horror. I'm not gonna end up dead.
Ryder looked like he wanted to add to Jaden's bruises.
Really? What happened to your cousin? Last time I checked, he'd parted ways with his pulse.
Man, Jaden said again, dropping his chin.
Ryder folded his arms.
Why are you doing this? Hector said he can get you a job.
At McDonald's?
Making minimum wage just to smell like yesterday's grease?
Jaden winced as he shook his head.
You know I help our abuelita with that money, so she don't have to work so many damn hours.
He held up the bag of ice. She can't keep up. You know that. And the state's gonna stop paying for you.
I know that, Jaden. I don't want her to have to keep taking in kids just to pay the damn electric bill. Not all of them have been like you, he said.
Ryder closed his eyes.
And I know that too, but damn it, you're going to get yourself killed.
The twisting increased as my breath caught. A cold rush of air swept down my spine as I listened to them. This was serious, like way more serious than anything going on in my life.
Nah, man, you stressin', Jaden replied as he started to lower the ice again.
But one look from Ryder stopped him.
I got this taken care of.
Ryder snorted.
Looks like it.
Jaden looked away, focusing on the fridge. A moment passed, and then Ryder spoke again, voice low.
You're like a brother to me, Jaden. You and Hector have been there for me, opened your home to me. I don't want to see this happening to you.
Nothing happening, he muttered.
Ryder kept going.
Do you think your grandma needs to see you like this? What do you think that'll do to her? Do you think she wants money you bled for?
Things started to click into place as I listened to them, and I didn't like the pieces my mind was putting together. I thought about the day Ryder and Hector had followed the older guys out of the school parking lot, the night he showed up with his forehead cut open, the hushed conversations between him and Hector. Ryder was involved in whatever Jaden had going on.
I'm cool, Jaden said, voice hard. Ain't nothing gonna happen to me. I'm cool.
When Hector showed up, for a moment I worried that this Brayden wouldn't be the most immediate problem for Jaden. Hector looked like he wanted to murder Jaden. He yelled at his brother, alternating between Puerto Rican and English at a rapid clip. Hector didn't even look in my direction, not once, which I was okay with, as he hauled his younger brother out of the garage, leaving Ryder and me alone once more. Ryder closed the door behind them, and for a moment, he didn't turn around. His shoulders rose with a deep breath, and then he slowly faced me.
Sorry about that.
It's not your fault, I told him. Jaw clenched, he lowered his chin.
Yeah, but this...
This what? I asked, when he didn't finish. He lifted his hand and scrubbed it along his jaw.
This kind of shit doesn't need to touch you. You shouldn't be around any of that.
It's not like you knew this was going to happen, I reasoned. Part of me wanted to approach him, to touch him, but I held back. I hope Jaden will be okay. He didn't respond immediately.
He will be if he gets his head out of his ass.
How bad is it? There was another pause.
It's bad. It's always bad, Mouse. He's mixed up with some seriously bad people, and once you fall down that rabbit hole, it's not easy to get back out.
I folded my arms over my chest. And you used to do what he's doing. He stiffened as he lifted my head.
I didn't want you to know that.
Pressure clamped down on my chest.
I know it now, I said quietly. I was stupid, So stupid. Seemed easy, you know. Make a few runs, make a few dollars.
Ryder leaned against the door and shut his eyes. Suddenly a vulnerability seeped into his expression, and he looked his age, instead of someone who'd lived triple that.
I didn't get in too deep. Not like Jaden. I got out.
I felt like I needed to sit down. How did you get out?
Their cousin ended up dead, shot in the back of the head, he said flatly, and I flinched. When that happened, I was done. And I was lucky. I am lucky. I didn't get mixed up with anyone else who cared what I was doing or not doing. That's all.
What about Hector?
He's actually smarter. He never got messed up in any of that. That's why he works. Saves every damn penny, too. He wants to go to the technical college. Get a job that isn't him flipping burgers.
Jaden's just a kid, he added, as if he were ancient in years compared to him. It sounds like he wants to help Mrs. Luna.
He does, and that's what makes it worse. Don't get me wrong, he spends some of the money on himself. That's how he got in trouble this time. But he buys groceries and sneaks money into Mrs. Luna's purse.
Ryder sighed again.
We all do.
In that moment, I knew I couldn't hold what he used to do against him. Ryder, Jaden, so many other people were a product of their environment. Some got out. Others didn't. Ryder was right. A lot of it was luck. Sometimes it was determination, but mostly it was luck. And I was the luckiest of them all. Forcing myself toward him, I unfolded my arms.
You're involved in this, though.
When he opened his mouth, I kept going. The day you and Hector left school after Jaden did, you showed up with your head busted open.
Why?
Ryder pushed off the door and lifted his hand. He brushed the hair back from my face, tucking the strands behind my ear.
Jaden had a problem.
I waited. His fingers traveled down the side of my face, over my jaw. He curved his hand around the nape of my neck.
He was going to meet Brayden. We stopped him.
When his thumb smoothed over the space where my pulse fluttered, I felt the touch throughout. I wasn't going to be distracted, though.
You stopped him with your face?
His lips twitched.
Brayden's boys didn't appreciate us retrieving Jaden.
My heart flopped over heavily.
Who is Brayden?
No one you ever have to worry about. He responded immediately, and I pinned him with a look.
Seriously, there is no reason why you'd ever come across him.
But you will?
He raised a brow. Not if I can help it. Hopefully Jaden will learn from what happened tonight.
And if not? My stomach kept flipping around. I want to know who he is. For a moment, I didn't think he was going to answer, and then he sighed.
Brayden is in school with us. He runs shit for Jerome, who is way older. When Jaden didn't have the money, Brayden and his crew were going to have to answer to Jerome for that, since Brayden was the one to bring Jaden in. Of course they were pissed at Jaden, and when they get pissed, they aren't about talking.
They were about fighting. And you and Hector took Jaden's place or something? Is that how you got hurt?
No. We persuaded them to give Jaden more time, he explained. It took a while to persuade them. And some of the persuasion wasn't talking.
Oh, God. I couldn't even fathom what it would be like to be in that situation.
Are you going to get involved again?
These people sound scary. I took a deep breath and said possibly the most selfish thing ever.
I don't want you involved in any of that.
Because you care about me.
Of course. I narrowed my eyes. I don't want to worry about you getting hurt.
He stepped in, and his other hand settled just above my hip.
Because you want to be with me.
Yes. That word was easy to speak. Ryder smiled then, and the right dimple appeared.
You want to be my girlfriend.
I opened my mouth, and then I laughed. It sounded strange after the seriousness of our conversation, but the statement was sweet and silly. His cheeks pinked.
Not sure how I feel about that laugh, he teased, but I do love the sound of it.
My breath caught at the word. Love. Oh gosh, was that what was happening here?
So do you want to be my girlfriend? He asked, and then chuckled. Probably should have brought this up before I kissed you, but I want to see where this goes, Mallory. I feel like we got a second chance, you know? I've been thinking that since I sat down in speech and saw you sitting there. We have a second chance, and who gets second chances?
I searched his gaze, feeling a rightness deep in my chest. I had thought the same thing before, about second chances.
I don't want to pass that up.
I don't, either. Slowly, I placed my hand on his chest again. Carl and Rosa wouldn't be happy with it. Neither would Paige. And maybe this all was a little crazy, but I wanted this, wanted him. Yes. The smile broke out across his face, and he started to speak, but seemed to change his mind. Without saying a word, he lowered his head and he kissed me, my third ever kiss. And it felt just as right and perfect and complete as the first and second one. And when he lifted his mouth from mine, he pulled me to his chest, wrapping his arms around me, and I went, holding him just as tightly as he was holding me. I pressed my cheek to his heart and pushed everything with Jaden aside for the moment. I focused on Ryder and me, and what was happening here, and what it meant. Because this was a beginning.
Chapter 25. Ainsley clutched a bowl of popcorn to her chest as she stared at me from the foot of my bed. Only the kernels were left, but Ainsley liked to root around for the half-popped ones. I had no idea how she didn't crack her teeth gnawing on those things. It was Sunday evening, less than 24 hours after Ryder and I kissed, after Jaden showed up, and after we went from friends reunited to definitely not just friends. Boyfriend. Girlfriend. Even though I'd been present for all of that, I had no idea how it all happened. A hyena-like squeal built in my throat, and I resisted the urge to bury my face in the pillow that lay in my lap.
Back up, Ainsley said, blue eyes glimmering. You told me a lot, everything, but I have to go back to something. He drew a heart between your names?
I nodded.
For real? Oh my God, Mal, that's so corny, but so cute, so it strikes out the corniness and just makes me swoon.
It made me swoon, too.
I told you it seemed like he really liked you, and he didn't even do what other guys do, pretend that he wasn't into you. He put it all out there,
she continued as she fished out a half-popped kernel and chomped down on it.
It's like a fairy tale.
My brows rose.
It is, she insisted, pausing to crack down on the kernel. You guys grew up together, and he was like your white knight. Then you were separated and then brought back together. It doesn't even seem real.
It doesn't. I pulled the pillow to my chest. I almost don't know what to think of it.
Just think it's amazing because it is.
She tucked her hair back behind her ear. That's all you have to think about. A little bit of reality seeped in. But, Paige,
they were broken up, apparently for a week, so it's not like you broke them up.
She paused, scrunching her nose.
Actually, you kind of did break them up, but not on purpose. I doubt this Paige girl will see it that way, but whatever. Not your problem.
I so dreaded the moment Paige realized that Ryder and I were, well, a thing. I told Rosa this morning that Ryder and I, that we were seeing each other, the whole boyfriend-girlfriend thing. I flushed. I don't think she was upset about it, or really happy about it. Carl hasn't said anything, but
he probably will, and it will probably be super awkward.
You just have to give them time, she replied, rather sagely. It's your first real relationship.
I don't know. It just feels like there is more to it, I said.
Ainsley studied me for a moment. Don't stress over Carl and Rosa.
And don't say you aren't going to stress over it. You stress over everything.
She smiled while I snapped my mouth shut.
Sometimes you're so stuck in your own head that you're not, well, you're not really living.
My brows rose. She glanced down at the bowl of popcorn.
Please don't take that the wrong way. It's just that I think sometimes you miss what's going on around you because you're so worried about what others are thinking about you and your choices.
I wanted to argue against that, but I couldn't.
You're right.
She was so right, because I constantly worried about what Carl and Rosa thought, what even Ainsley thought, and then Ryder and Kiera, Joe, Mr. Santos, the list went on and on.
I know, she chirped, and then she sobered. It's really sad about the stuff with Jaden.
Typical Ainsley, moving from one conversation to the next. I fiddled with the hem of my pants.
He was so beat up.
It doesn't seem like Ryder is heavily involved in whatever is going on. She set the bowl aside, next to her book bag. She'd come over Sunday afternoon under the guise of studying alongside me. We hadn't even opened a textbook. Still, it was sad and scary. I wasn't sure I agreed with Ryder not being involved. Yes, it had nothing to do with me, but Ryder had been involved, and I doubted he would stay out of it if things continued to go bad for Jaden. It just wasn't in Ryder's nature. He had a near-suicidal hero complex. My stomach tumbled. And I also really liked Jaden. He had always been kind to me, even when he really had no idea who I was. I wasn't sure how I could help him, or if it was even in my power to help.
So, tell me about Hector. I want to know everything about him.
I cocked my head to the side.
Thought you didn't like him.
I don't have to like him to be all up in his business from a distance. Ainsley grinned. I smiled.
I don't know a lot about him. He works at McDonald's part-time and he's nice.
Nice? She laughed as she tossed her hair back. You should have heard what he was saying about me in front of me. He's a jerk, a dirty-minded, perverted jerk face.
I stared at her.
But he is hot, she added with a sly grin. There is that. I nodded in agreement.
How's Todd?
Her eyes rolled.
Boring, snobby. I don't want to talk about him because there is something we do need to talk about.
Ainsley glanced at my closed bedroom door. Carl and Rosa were somewhere downstairs.
You're dating Ryder now, right? You're his girlfriend, and don't you have homecoming soon? Your first dance.
I winced. We haven't even talked about that.
You can talk about it now.
I don't know, I responded.
She raised a brow. You should at least ask if he wants to go. It's kind of like the normal thing to do, she said, lowering her voice.
I nodded, liking the sound of that.
I want to be normal.
Her mouth opened, and then her nose scrunched.
Okay, pause. Normal is subjective, and you are normal, Mal.
I wrinkled my nose.
What? You don't talk a lot, and sometimes you occasionally freak out. How does that make you abnormal? There are tons of people out there like that.
She threw her hands up.
So what? And you came from foster care, a crappy foster home, but again, unfortunately, that's also not unusual. That doesn't make you weird.
I started to explain that I was weird, but I stopped myself. Ainsley had a point. I didn't have a common childhood, and I didn't talk, but that didn't make me some strange, unknown creature. Ainsley knew a lot about my childhood. She knew it had been rough for me and Ryder, and that I'd been burned. But there were things I hadn't told her. Stuff that I had only ever talked to Dr. Taft about. Things Carl and Rosa knew, because they'd seen the police reports and my case file.
My gaze swung around the room, settling on the owl soap carving, before coasting over my neat desk and the thickly cushioned window seat. This bedroom was so different than the ones in that house. Clean, bright, and airy. Welcoming. The back of my throat dried as I looked at Ainsley. Never in the past had I wanted to tell her the things I never talked about, but the need blossomed, burning through my stomach and chest. I forced my tongue to become unglued from the roof of my mouth. I have a problem with noise and talking. Heat flooded my cheeks as I lowered my gaze to the pillow I held. It was hard to explain why a dance might be too much. I had to be quiet because Mr. Henry didn't like noise. He didn't like a lot of stuff, but staying quiet kept me out of trouble for the most part. Ainsley stilled, quiet. Drawing in a deep breath, I continued. Ryder would always tell me not to make a sound, so I couldn't be found when Mr. Henry was drunk or when I did something wrong. Sometimes he would get mad if I ate cookies or walked up the stairs too loudly. He never liked it if I spoke, and I know that's why I don't like to talk, and I don't like noise. The therapist I saw used to say it was post-traumatic stress syndrome and conditioning. The heat lessened as I continued. Anyway, the night I was burned, something else happened. She didn't know how I was burned, so I told her. It was rough and painful to get out. The room was so quiet, even with the TV on low in the background, I could hear a cricket sneeze. I told her about Velvet and how much I treasured the doll Ryder had stolen for me, no matter how old I got. I explained how a few weeks before Mr. Henry had gotten mad over something insignificant and had taken the doll, stashing it in plain sight, really just to taunt me. I told her how Mr. Henry had tossed Ryder outside after he'd asked if we were having dinner that night. He threw the doll in the fireplace, I explained, smoothing my hands over the pillow. I didn't think. I reached in and tried to grab it. That was how I burned my arms. Oh my God, she whispered. I know it sounds stupid, but Velvet was the only thing that was mine. It never belonged to anyone but me. I just panicked. I shook my head. But before that, I tried to get Miss Becky to wake up. She always liked Ryder. I thought she would step in. She didn't? Her voice was quiet. I swallowed the sudden burn in my throat. I went into her bedroom, even though I wasn't supposed to. Miss Becky drank a lot. When I was younger, I thought it was because she was sick. I went into that room, and she was lying on the bed. My breath caught as the image of the room formed. Empty bottles, messy floor, Miss Becky on the bed, her thin chest unmoving, and her skin a weird waxy color. I thought she was sleeping. She slept a lot. I called her name, and when she didn't wake up, I went to the bed. I tried to shake her. Wincing at the memory, I barely heard Ainsley's soft inhale. She wasn't asleep. She'd died sometime that day. Later I heard that it was an overdose. Pills and alcohol. Mr. Henry didn't even know. I guess her passing out was so common he didn't even check on her. Oh my God, Ainsley repeated. I've been dreaming about that night, about touching her. I don't know why. For a while I didn't think of her, but it messed with me. It would mess with anyone, Mal.
God, I would be traumatized if I saw a dead person from a distance, much less up close and personal.
She tucked long blonde strands behind her ears.
What happened after you were burned?
I was screaming, I guess. I don't remember exactly. I just pieced it together from what I heard later. But Ryder heard my screams and he went to the neighbors. It took a couple of houses before anyone answered the door. They called the police. I forced myself to keep going. When the police showed up, Mr. Henry answered the door like nothing was wrong. So crazy. Mr. Henry ended up in jail for what he did to Ryder and me. I doubt he's still in jail.
I don't think about that, I said,
and that part was true.
I don't know why, but I don't.
I lifted my gaze just in time to see Ainsley spring forward. She wrapped her arms around me, nearly tackling me. I froze, unused to this. I didn't hug a lot. For the most part, I didn't like to be touched, but I got over it quickly because the hug was warm and good. Different than Carl and Rose's, different than Ryder's, but just as good. Wrapping my arms around her, I hugged her back. I didn't even know why I'd told her, but I was glad I did. A weird rush of tears pricked the backs of my eyes. Not sad ones, more like relief. Confiding in Ainsley felt like I'd just stripped off a layer of bulky clothing. Ainsley pulled back, her eyes shining.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
I didn't know what to say, but for once I didn't mind. Right now there was nothing to be said, and that was okay with me. My heart was racing so fast Monday morning, I wondered if it would pop out of my chest and run circles around me. Today looked like every Monday that came before it, but it would be different. It was the first day in school since Ryder and I had gotten together, and I didn't know what to expect. I doubted things would change significantly. Wasn't like I was wearing a badge that said, Ryder Stark's girlfriend. But going to my locker in the morning felt different, and it wasn't because Jaden wasn't there. I worried about him during lunch. He'd been so bruised and bloodied. But I knew from previous experience that sometimes bones could be hard to break, as if they were laced with titanium. Other times bones were like dry branches, easy to snap. Had Jaden suffered broken bones? That nose hadn't looked too good. I'd picked up my salad until lunch was over. I didn't even like salads, but I wasn't sure what the heck the alternative was. At the end of lunch, Kiara stayed at my side while Joe and Anna walked ahead. So, she drew the word out. There's a party at Peter's house this week. It'll be really fun. It's an annual thing he does the weekend before the homecoming game. I just wanted to make sure you knew that you're invited. And I hope you come. My step faltered as I dragged my right foot. Anna looked over her shoulder. Of course she's coming, right, Mallory? I nodded, almost afraid if I did speak. I'd ruin the moment, and it was a big moment because I was invited to a party. A real party. Cool. Kiara nudged me with her hip. You can bring whoever you want with you. There's really no limit. I felt myself nod. Normally that invite would have me stressing out, but my stomach had started doing cartwheels for a totally different reason, and the giddiness continued into calculus. I had no idea what was being covered in that class, and when the bell rang, I bit down on my lip to stop myself from grinning like I was deranged. Shoving my textbook into my bag, I walked out of my class, and there was no stopping my smile. Ryder was waiting for me. He pushed off the lockers opposite the classroom, unfurling his long body. Parting the sea of students, he shoved the ratty notebook under his left arm and prowled up to me. I stopped, smile widening, as I lifted my chin and looked up at him. His hair was wavy, as if he'd shoved his fingers through it a dozen or so times and it flopped onto his forehead in a careless way. Hey, I said, speaking first. The dimple in his right cheek appeared, and he dropped his arm over my shoulders as he lowered his head. We were surrounded by people, but in that moment, as he lowered his mouth to my